Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Christina Forrester with Christian Democrats of America, and this is the CDA Sunday podcast. We are continuing our Christians Against Hate series this week, and I'm happy to be talking to former NBA player John Sammons. John is actually part of our board, our advisory board at CDA, and we've been so happy to have him and his input and just get to know him over the past year. John is a former NBA player who played opposite Derrick Rose for several seasons as a shooting guard with the Chicago Bulls, where he averaged 18 points a game. So all you sports fanatics are going to like to hear some of these stats. Sammons also played with the 69ers, Bucks, Kings, Raptors, and most recently with the Pelicans. Sammons ranks in the top 10 of all-time scorers in the history of the NBA. As a social engineer, Sammons focuses on many businesses and social initiatives that make a significant impact. He's focusing right now on bringing his 3D formula of desire plus diversity plus discipline to the entrepreneurial world, just as he brought it to every moment on the court. So I'm excited to talk to John today. First, I just want to be able to give you some updates. We are finally launching our new website and debuting it next week, along with our new magazine. It's the first ever magazine Christian Democrats has had, The Progressive Gap. And through this platform, we're going to be able to fight for all the causes that we talk about all the time. We're going to be able to have a better platform to get the message out and fight against the rhetoric from the religious right and all the fake news and fake spiritual news that we get all the time. And I don't have to tell you, all of you know how important this is for our country, that we have another voice, and we're stepping up into that role to give a platform and another voice out there. And so we're excited to be able to share this with you next week. So watch for updates with that. You can get onto our website and get an update through our email list, through social media, through the channels, any direction you want to go. But definitely sign up to our email list. And we also ask everyone to just remember that we are a grassroots movement, and none of this is funded by any outside group. We have no direct affiliations with the DNC or millionaire hedge funds, anything. We need both volunteers and contributors, and we appreciate anything you can do to help us keep this podcast and everything we are working towards moving and growing. So we ask you to consider joining the movement in whatever way you feel, and pray for us. Pray for this movement. It's definitely a spiritual battle that we're facing, as well as all the other types of battles and political. So we ask for your prayers and your covering over the things that we're doing, and godly wisdom in every way as we move forward. And so look for that next week. If you want some more information on what the Progressive Gap and just the entire idea behind the gap means, you can check out our page. We posted an article, but I'll post that again for everyone to see on Monday morning. So you can check out The Progressive Gap is an article I wrote in 2016, just really kind of framing what I believe is one of the biggest problems that we have, not just in politics, but also in the church right now. And it's something where we need to bridge the gap and we need to mend the gap. So I hope that you will join us in looking at all the ways we can bridge the gap. And so we're excited to share that. All right. I think we have John on here right now. So I'm just going to let John on. And I'm so excited to have this conversation with you, John, because of just we haven't talked in a while on the podcast, but I think last time was during the election. And so much has happened since then. And we've just seen such an upswing in hate in our society. So thank you for coming on today and talking with me on a podcast.
Yep, thanks for having me.
So I guess I want to start with just talking about the DACA program and get your thoughts on that, and just the general attitude that we've been seeing towards immigrants and minorities in general. This is it's something that's very disturbing to a lot of people, especially when we're talking about, you know, some of them are children, but some of them, a lot of DACA recipients are over 18. But these are people who have grown up in the United States. This is the only home they've ever seen. And economically, it doesn't make sense. There's really no reason that any of it makes sense unless you simply have an anti-immigrant attitude towards immigrants. So I just wanted to get your thoughts first on the DACA program being rescinded this week and with this general kind of the way people are viewing immigrants.
Well, it's disheartening to me because it hits very close to home for me because my wife is an immigrant. She's originally from Jamaica. She came over here at a young age and moved to New York, and a lot of other family members did the same thing. They moved from Jamaica, some moved to New York, some moved to Florida. And, you know, she came over here and she got her visa, and then 9/11 hit, and then it was kind of like, you know, she had to really get on the ball with becoming a U.S. citizen, and she did that. But by the time she did that, she was older. She was in college. She understood everything that was going on, so she knew how important it was. But when you come over here as a minor, you don't even know that you're illegal. Like, you're over here and, you know, you're just trying to live life. You're trying to make it by just like everybody else, and you're trying to, you know, do the right things. And, you know, she has family members that came over here as minors, and their parents didn't do all the correct paperwork to you know, get them legal. And now, you know, they're struggling because of what's going on. And they are good, hardworking people. They joined the DACA program so they can pursue being legal. And now that, you know, what our current president is doing now and rescinding DACA, I mean, they don't have, you know, their future is not looking as bright as it once did. And it's disheartening. It's disheartening because they are great people. They're not criminals. They joined DACA because they wanted to work. They wanted to pay taxes. So it's disheartening to me because it hits home, and it's a lot of people out there. I think it's something like 800,000 people in this program, and I mean,
yeah, let's say 800,000,
like, yeah. 15% of them own homes. So what's gonna happen to the homes? Like, it's abandoned homes, and cars. It's just, the economy is going to hurt the economy. I just don't understand what's the upside in doing this. It's just, I don't know.
Right. And, you know, I can't imagine the emotional toll that must take. I mean, I can imagine it just from the fact that I've known people who are, you know, trying to go through our immigration system and how stressful the whole thing is, and all of the red tape and the hoops, and people don't understand,
yeah,
unless you've been through that system, what it really entails. They think that people just come over here and, you know, just want to do something illegal by staying, and
yeah,
that's not the case at all. And unless you really understand the system and what goes on, you know, people just need to they just need to
Yeah, I mean,
before you're walking in someone's shoes, you know, if you're not walking in their shoes, you don't understand.
Speaking about the process, my wife has family members who filed to become a legal immigrant. It took them 10 years for all the paperwork and all the stuff that they had to do to for them to become legal. So, I mean, it's a long, drawn out process. It's not easy. I mean, it's not easy just to come here and become legal.
It's
a lot of people trying to do it. So, I mean, it's just all the way around. It's a bad situation. I mean, for years they've been, fighting over the same issue, and President Obama, took it upon himself to, look, like, this is what I'm going to do, and, this is how we're going to move forward. And he told the immigrants, if you come forward, you won't be deported. And now our current president is rescinding on that and using all these immigrants and their information that they receive from what Barack Obama did. Now he's using it against them, and that's bad. That's even hard to trust a government like that when you use
right.
them like that. So.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I know, like, Trump has tweeted this week and has made statements saying that he's that if Congress doesn't step in the next 6 months, that he's going to
mm-hmm.
That no one's going to get deported and all this. But like you said about trust and the record we've seen from Trump, like, I don't know if people that you know, like, do they feel assured when he has a tweet out there, or that must not be the kind of assurance they need, because this is their very lives that are on the line right now. And right now, all they have is a tweet of assurance from the president.
No, that's no assurance. I mean, he spent a lot of lies, and how it's hard to trust anything that he says at this point, with all the lies he been telling. So him
yeah.
tweeting that is not comfort to anybody. A tweet from the current president is not comforting at all.
Right, exactly. Well, it's something we definitely need to take action, protest, sign petitions, call your local, representatives, let them know how you feel about DACA. Because a lot of times I feel like there's one voice that's out there, and it's a very anti-immigrant voice over the last year that we've heard, and it's so strong. And the thing is, we're a nation of immigrants. We were built by immigrants, and we're all immigrants. If you're not Native American, you're an immigrant. And it's a really sad time for our country from that point of view. And it kind of goes into the whole theme of Christians against hate. And that's kind of brings me to my next question for you, is your thoughts on it. I think it all kind of bleeds together, this combating racism, the anti-immigrant views and the racist views that we've seen. This year, it's just really been unleashed. Like, in my lifetime, I've never seen it. And so I'd like to know, kind of how you see that these past months, and what can we do to combat this, as Christians, and stand against this kind of hate and this blanket racism that's been almost like accepted by in the mainstream in so many ways.
Well, I mean, when you look at companies or organizations, the culture of the organization or the company starts from the top, and it trickles down. And when we have our president not condemning hate, running a campaign on hate, it gives people under him license to show that hate. And a lot of that's coming to the light right now because of our president's campaign and everything that he stands for. And it's worse now that he's in office. And for me, the most simplest thing, if you read the Bible, the most simplest thing is love your neighbor as yourself.
Right.
If we do that, that would take care of everything far as racism and all this stuff that's going on. If we just love our neighbors as ourselves, we will, our country will come a long way. And it's simple to say, but it's so true. When you think about it, it's so true. And that's why it's in the Bible. Like, that's why, you know, it's really that simple. Just love your neighbor. Just love
Amen.
Your neighbor. That's it.
Amen. And go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I'm just going to mention that in that same place where Jesus says, love your neighbor, they challenged him and said, who is my neighbor? Because they wanted to get away with, it was one of the Pharisees, they wanted to get away with being able to, it said, the Bible says he wanted to justify himself. So he asked, who is my neighbor? And that's when Jesus gave the Good Samaritan, which the Samaritans at the time were just the kind of the scum of society. They were the worst of the worst, and most of the Jews wouldn't even eat a meal with Samaritans. You didn't talk to Samaritans. You didn't go around them. They were just outcasts. And he used them as the example of the neighbor. So he's just showing us there's no excuses. I don't care who the true neighbor.
There's no excuses. Just love your neighbor.
Right. Amen. I wanted to ask you about being a Christian Democrat, and you've been on our board now for close to a year, which has been great and wonderful to have you and get your perspective on these things. And have you always been a Christian Democrat? Is it like through your career? Or was there as far as the Christian side of that, was there a spiritual turning point in your life at some point?
I wouldn't say. I became a Christian at a very young age. I became a Christian before I knew anything about politics. So it really wasn't. I was a Christian first. And I really started to really pay attention to politics in college. Went to the University of Miami. And I was down there for the whole thing with Bush, kind of still in the election. And that kind of, woke me up to, to how the world works. And I started to, at that point, pay more attention. And, I started, I don't know if anybody agrees 100% with any party. So it wasn't I saw all the Democratic issues and I was like, oh, yes, I agree with 100% of those. That's not the case. But in reality, when I started to, not look at things in theory, but look at things in reality, more and more I paid attention, the more I realized that in reality, even though, Democrats say these things or Republicans say these things, or I felt like the Democratic Party was more for the people than for the everyday person than the Republican Party was. So that's what really made me, represent as a Democrat. And then, I was a Christian before that. I was a Christian Democrat out of just, almost, that's just what it was. I didn't become a Democrat because I was a Christian. I became a Democrat because of, in reality, how things was playing out for us in politics. And I just didn't agree with some of the things that was going on in the Republican Party from a reality standpoint. Theory, I may agree with some things in theory, but when it comes down to it, I'm a I'm a regular person, just like everybody else. I'm no better than anybody else, and I feel like, you know, the Republican Party is for, you know, upper echelon, you know, rich, white male, and
mm-hmm.
I just couldn't agree with that tone, with that, you know, with that reality.
Right, and it seems like as soon as they got into office, and you know, they control both houses of Congress now, and it seems like everything that is proposed somehow comes back. And I've even heard Republicans, Joe Scarborough on, you know, Morning Joe, who's a Republican. I've heard Chris Matthews, who's an independent, you know, and there's people, you know, on CNN and all over, and commentators I've heard who aren't Democrats necessarily or on the far left at all, who have said the same thing, that it seems like it all comes back to tax breaks for the rich. It just
mm-hmm.
all comes back to how can we help the big oil companies, you know, the big corporations, not the workers, not help bring wages up for Americans and everyday people. I mean, Trump talked about that a lot on the campaign trail, but he's done nothing to do that so far.
Yeah.
He's done nothing to help workers, help wages, help the wage gap. There's been nothing done. And in fact, all Republicans want to do, all the health care, Obamacare appeal, it was all about tax breaks for the rich. It all came back down to that. And
yeah.
while I'm glad fellow Republicans who are more in the mainstream are finally kind of wising up to that.
I think because if you are a Christian, if you're a Christian, you're a Christian, Republican, Democrat. But I think if
right.
you do have some kind of moral being about you, like what's going on, what's going on right now, it's hard not to, it's hard to just let your morals just go by like that without, you know, standing up with what's going on right now, regardless if you're a Republican or a Democrat. If you have any kind of moral sense about you, like it's hard to like just sit by and let things go the way they are. So I am, like you said, I am glad some Republicans are standing up and, you know, trying to, you know, fight back against their own party.
Right, right. And, well, it's going to take them because right now they're in control
yeah.
of Congress. So they're going to have to, you know, I was glad lots of people did stand up and made public statements when the president didn't condemn white supremacists, the Nazis,
yeah.
which was just shocking. I think it shocked people as much as we already knew about Trump. That was kind of a level that, you know, none of us expected that he would
yeah.
go to actually
yeah. that kind of
condemn white supremacists.
yeah, after that whole mess, I came to the realization that, you know, throughout history, throughout the Bible, throughout history, when we have been some bad, evil leaders out there, and we just in an era that, you know, this is what it is, and we have to, for as long as he's in office, we have to, you know, just continue to keep the faith and continue to be a Christian and continue to love our neighbor and, you know, just try to, you know, fight as much as we can until we can, you know, get a good leader in there.
Right.
It's no different from things in the past that happened with different bad leaders or evil leaders. So.
Right.
You know,
maybe trying our best to. Right. I mean, showing love as much as we can. You know, just in everyday lives. You know, we have members in our Christians Against Hate group that talk about, you know, they just, you know, give someone a hug, you know, or whatever, and just talk to people when they're out, you know, going about the business. Just try to spread a little bit more light into things right now. And we should be the ones doing that, you know. I mean, everyone
yeah.
should do it, but, you know, it falls on us. You know, so many times the Christian community just isn't standing up and you know, taking our place, and our place should be to be spreading more love, light, joy, and peace to people, because people need peace right now too. A lot of people are scared, like we were talking about. So yeah, it's an important time for us to do that. Well, do you have any? We're just about out of time, about 5 minutes. But is there anything else on your mind, on your heart that you want to share or talk about, or just a word for our listeners and our community that you want to share, a word of encouragement?
Well, it is, this, like you just said, this is a time when, you know, there is a lot of people that may not be Christians, but they are scared and they don't know where to turn because of what's going on in our country right now. And this is a good time to reach out to those people as Christians to try to invite them to know Christ, invite them to, you know, become a follower of Christ, where they can find some purpose in their life, where they can find some peace in their life, and know that whatever is going on with the government or the president or whatever is going on, they still have, you know, they still have Christ. And, I mean, he's still there for them. And they have some comfort and some peace in knowing that, and knowing that he's not going to leave them, and he can overcome everything that's going on in their life right now, regardless of how much power one person has. If they have him, they can overcome it through him. So this is a good time to reach out to people to try to bring them to Christ, because there is a lot of scared people out there that's not Christians, that, you know, that we need to find, and we need to, you know, try to, you know, bring them in and show them the way, show them the light.
Well, thank you for that. That's it's so true that right now is really a time we need to be sharing love like we never have. And so many times, like I said, the Christian community just has not stood up and done that, instead of used the platform for, you know, judgment or whatever. And
yeah,
it's our job right now to try to get in there and talk about the truth, because there's a lot of Christians living in fear too, and that's because they're not focusing on God. They're not focusing on God as our provider, but they're looking at, you know, they're looking at guns and, you know, military might, or, you know, all the, you know, the immigrants are out to get me, transgender people in bathrooms are out to get me. We posted a thing on that this week. You know, there's all this fear of things, and that a lot of what Trump ran on was fear and fear-mongering about this group, and you have to be afraid of this group. But like you, that's such a good word, what you just said there. Just, we need to trust and know God is ultimately in control, and put our faith and our trust and our hope in him. So true.
Yeah, and as Christians, come together instead of being divided.
Wouldn't
that be great? Politics can do that. Yes, politics can divide you, but as the body, we need to stay together. Even in our differences, we still need to stay together, because all opinions matter. All opinions count. From the left or the right, but if we can, you know, come together and speak on it in a civil matter instead of all this division and hate speak, we can work together. So if the body is divided, then what is the rest of the world going to be?
That's so true, and there's so much division. It's just there's a schism there, and that's actually what the whole progressive gap is about. So the magazine, everything being launched next week, that's what it's about, is that gap. And that is so many people in the gap, and there's this left and there's this right in the church and in politics, but a lot more people in that gap that are just, you know, they aren't accepted by maybe the left, but they're also not accepted by the right. And a lot of our community, that's the case. You know, you're not accepted by a Christian community, but then you're bullied and religious peer pressure, but yet on the far left, you know, you're not accepted because you're a Christian. And we just see a lot of this. There's got to be somewhere for them to go, and we're hoping we can help bridge that gap for people. But thank you so much, John, and I hope that we can get you on again to talk, because I think it's a great topic, important, people need to hear from you, and thanks for your words and your insight today.
All right, thanks for having me. It was fun.
And you can connect with John on Twitter and on his Facebook page as well, and we'll post those links. I just want to end out with a scripture today, Leviticus. Yes, I'm going back into the Old Testament. Leviticus 19, 33 through 34, and 24 and 22. When the alien resides with you in your land, you shall not oppress the alien. The alien who resides with you shall be to you as the citizen among you. You shall love the alien as yourself, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Wow, it's almost like he's just talking to us right now. Thank you all so much for joining us, and we'll talk to you next time.